Some of you are going to think I'm confused, but I do know it's the Christmas season, not Easter. But we have been studying through the Gospel of Luke, and now we're in chapter 24, and so we're going to talk about the resurrection this morning. 2,000 years ago, the angels announced the joyful news of Jesus' birth to the shepherds of Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, the angel said to them, to the shepherds, right? Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. A Savior has been born. The birth of Jesus brought joy to the people. Joy to the people everywhere that Jesus went. And His teaching and miracles brought hope, joy, and peace to thousands and thousands of people. Jesus healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. He fed the hungry. He set free those held captive by Satan's power. And Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. The joy and excitement of Jesus' followers reached its highest point on the day when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey's colt. In Luke chapter 19, verses 37 and 38, the scriptures record that when He, that's Jesus, when He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They joyfully praised God in loud voices with overflowing joy. But a short time later, their joy, their excitement turned to sorrow when just a few days later, Jesus was arrested, beaten, and nailed to the cross. When Jesus died, the hope and the joy the disciples had known must have been extinguished as completely as like if a candle was thrown into the ocean and a flame washed away. Jesus was placed in the grave. A huge stone was rolled over the entrance. The grave was sealed and guards were posted to make sure that no one could disturb the grave. When the disciples were with Jesus, they had experienced wonderful hope and great joy. But now, their joy had been destroyed. Their hope was buried with Jesus in the tomb. You see, the joy and hope of the disciples was not in the teachings of Jesus. It was not in the miracles of Jesus. Their joy and their hope was in Jesus Himself. In the person of Jesus Christ is where their joy and hope was found. That's the way it has always been with the Christian faith. It's that way 2,000 years ago. It is that way today. Our faith does not lie in a system of religious teaching. Our faith is not composed of philosophical principles or clever ideas of some kind. Our faith, our hope, our joy are found in the person of Jesus Christ, in His presence with us, the same 2,000 years ago and today. So, when Jesus was crucified and died and buried, the disciples lost their hope. They lost their joy. Because without a living Jesus, there is no Christian faith. We need a living Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, the hope and joy of the disciples died, but that was not the end of the story. That was not the end, because on the morning of the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is alive. He is here with us now. So we have overflowing hope and joy. 2,000 years. At first they found the tomb was empty and open and everyone was gone. And then afterward the disciples met the living Jesus, the living Jesus resurrected from the dead, and faith, hope, and joy were born anew. And that's what we're going to look at today. Luke chapter 24, we're going to just take verses 1 through 12, just a short passage, and read that and then talk a little bit about the resurrection of Christ. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, and bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Early on Sunday morning, the women, a group of women, they went to the tomb with spices they had prepared, planning to anoint the body of Jesus. But when they arrived, Jesus was not in the tomb. Instead, they met angels who spoke to them saying, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Amen. Praise the Lord. He has risen. And the angels reminded them how Jesus had told them in advance that he would rise from the dead on the third day. The women went and reported this news to the disciples. And at first the disciples did not believe, but as the other Gospels record, within a few hours, the women, the disciples, and others met the risen Lord Jesus. They spoke with him. They touched him. And later they ate with him. In the 40 days following the resurrection, for 40 days they ate with Jesus, touched him, spoke with him, listened to him. And then on the 40th day, Jesus returned to heaven to be with the Father. He ascended into heaven. But he promised to return at the right time and to bring restoration and healing to all things. And then in Acts chapter 2, it records that at Pentecost, the 50th day after Jesus rose from the dead, 10 days after Jesus went back to heaven, on Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and given power from heaven. And starting on that day, the disciples joyfully preached the good news and proclaimed to all people that Jesus is alive. Now, since that time, for For nearly 2,000 years now, the church has proclaimed, the church has taught, Jesus is alive. Continuing the testimony of those disciples, and many millions of Christians around the world have met Jesus through faith and received that same Holy Spirit that was given to the first disciples back in Acts chapter 2. The resurrection of Jesus is not some sort of made-up story or parable or myth. The resurrection of Jesus is documented in history with abundant evidence. Some people might try to say, oh, it's a myth or it's a lie. They might not believe, but the evidence shows that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true history. Well documented, the evidence and proof available for anyone who has eyes to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, the Apostle Paul wrote these words of testimony about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born, or born at the wrong time, is what it means." Paul declared that the death and resurrection of Jesus are central to our faith, to the Christian faith. And Paul pointed to the testimony of hundreds of witnesses who had met the risen Lord Jesus. This appeal to the testimony of eyewitnesses clearly shows that Paul is not trying to deceive people, and not enough time had passed for some kind of myth or something to be developed. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, scholars agree that the letter to the Corinthians was written no later than about 55 A.D., only about 25 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul wrote his letter to the Corinthian church, and we still have that letter today. It's in every Bible that we have preserved there. Only 25 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, may I ask you a question? You can raise your hand. Do you remember 1985? How many people, come on, be bold. How many people remember 1985? A lot of people, you know? A lot of people remember 1985. I certainly remember 1985 very well. Now, to some of our younger people who don't remember 1985, 25 years may seem like a long time to some of our young people, but some of us who are more than twice that old, myself, 25 years is not so long. It's a while, but it's not such a long time. Only 25 years. Only 25 years. Many of us remember 1985 very well, and we know 25 years is not long enough for some kind of myth to develop and take hold in the minds of people. It's not long enough. It's not long enough for something that's not true to be accepted. When Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, many people still remembered those events. Jesus' death, His resurrection. Many people still remembered meeting the risen Lord. Jesus rose from the grave. No one could fool them with some kind of made-up story. They knew Jesus is alive. And they testified to it and proclaimed it everywhere they went. The written record of the New Testament is powerful evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there is much more evidence. There's the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and many more things. Another strong kind of evidence is that Roman history, the history in the Roman Empire, records how so many early Christians died for their faith as martyrs. In the early persecutions, the first persecutions of the church, those who were arrested for being Christians were released if they denied Christ and said they did not believe in the resurrection. But if they testified that they believed in Jesus and that they knew that Jesus was alive and had risen from the dead, then they were tortured and killed. All they had to do was say, "I don't believe," and they could go free. But they could not deny Jesus. They would not deny Jesus. They knew that Jesus is alive. And they chose to joyfully die as martyrs for Jesus and for their faith because they knew Jesus is alive. And they weren't going to let go of that truth. Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor of Christians. But after he met the living Jesus, after he met Jesus alive, he changed his heart and was transformed, and Saul became the Apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, including the letter to the Corinthians we just talked about. And after he trusted in Jesus and became the Apostle Paul, he suffered imprisonment. He suffered beatings and worse because of his faith in Jesus Christ and his bold proclamation of the resurrection, saying Jesus is alive. Now, according to church tradition, Paul was finally beheaded in Rome for his faith. All along the way, day by day, Paul could have avoided suffering. He could have escaped death if he had denied Jesus and denied the resurrection. But Paul would never do that because he knew the living Jesus. He knew Jesus alive, active in his life, and he could not deny his truth. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 records Paul's attitude in his own words. Paul wrote and he said, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." What is our attitude today? What's our attitude? I pray that we also would know the power of Jesus' resurrection, that we would count all things lost, preferring to suffer and even die in our testimony of Jesus resurrected, alive, God the Son, coming again in power and glory. That we would have the courage and faith of those early Christians. I pray we'd be willing to suffer and even die for this truth that Jesus is alive. Why? Because the resurrection is true history, and the power of the resurrection brings peace, hope, and salvation to a lost and dying world. People need Jesus. We need Jesus. Praise the Lord. He is alive. Praise the Lord, He is here with us now. Praise the Lord that He is a loving God. Amen. Let's close today with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where Peter also gives his testimony. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our hope is a living hope because we believe in a living Lord, Jesus, alive forevermore, giving the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins to all who trust in Him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear loving Lord, Creator God, Sustainer of all things, God of mercy and love, God of grace, thank You for the salvation You have prepared for all who trust in Jesus. Thank You for the wonders of Your grace and mercy that even a sinner like me can receive salvation through trusting in Jesus, His finished work on the cross, can have great peace, hope and joy without limit through the resurrection of Christ, the promise of eternal life made sure. Lord, I pray that everyone here today, each and every one of us, would meet the living Lord, would know Jesus Christ, that we would experience His power in our lives, that we would receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, that we would be born again and made new through faith in Jesus Christ, the living Lord. I pray that we would have a living hope, that we would know the power of the resurrection, and that we would be able to walk with You all the days of our life, proclaiming lovingly and gently to all we meet, Jesus is alive. Come and receive eternal life through faith in Him. Lord, bless each and every one. Meet their needs. And help us, each and every one, to open our hearts wide, to have our greatest need, forgiveness of sins, met through Christ. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.